could see a shower. The high 89. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 83 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again, it was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Wednesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Support Experts. Hope everybody doing a little bit better, right? I would say great, but we know it's been quite the week thus far. You know, I guess recapping everything that went down on Saturday. But the good news is I feel like we've kind of got most of it out of our system, I think, right? And if you guys still got some more to talk about, feel free, 205-342-9904. In terms of breaking it down, though, I feel like we broke it down a good bit. I will say, though, we did have former Penn State lineman who now does some YouTube content, some breakdown stuff. He had tagged us in a video where he was breaking down our running game from Saturday. So I might actually play a little bit of that because he did a really nice job just kind of showing, you know, what we were trying to get to, where things, I guess, kind of fell short. And the good news is, because we have had a lot of people asking, Ram called yesterday, was asking, and basically saying, hey, are these things correctable? I mean, like, what are the odds that we get this stuff fixed moving forward? Well, in regards to the running game, which, again, had success in that first drive, at least 55 yards, 8 minutes, 50 seconds, taking off the clock. The good news is, number one, I'm a firm believer. If you've done it once, you can do it again. But two, after seeing Landon's breakdown of the running game specifically, he definitely feels like it's very correctable. So maybe we'll pull up that video and just kind of share a little bit of it here on the show. And I did talk to him. We'll start getting him to join the show as well. That way we can get his perspective, especially being a former offensive lineman. Be good to have his breakdowns of, I guess, like, you know, running game, pass pro, stuff like that. Obviously, we can break it down too, but that was his thing. That's his bread and butter. And I always like getting different perspectives. So we'll go. Work to get him on the show as well. Plus, a couple other things, Chase, that have been popping up in the news. Obviously, you guys see by the title. Starting to look a little bit ahead at ULM. I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. Not going to be nearly as thorough of a breakdown because I'm just going to be completely flat out here. There's no excuse why we should. I don't think we need to really look at scheme, Chase, all this other stuff. We've got better players than them, right? I mean, it's just a fact. And I'll be honest with you, I don't care really what they try to do. They should not win this game at all. That being said, I'll still try to preview a little bit of kind of what they like to do, maybe some of their key players, but it's not going to be nearly in depth because I know you guys probably could care less about that as well, unless you really want me to dive into it. But I think we all know how these games kind of go. And obviously the biggest thing I think we were looking for in this matchup really has nothing to do with scheme or any of that. I think it's more so is how do our players respond? How do they show up? And speaking of them and their response, they spoke to the media yesterday and we didn't get to play any of it. So we will play some of those videos. I know there's a couple of at least answers that I definitely want to play, but I know Quay Russo spoke and Quavis also spoke. Bernard spoke, and I'll be honest with you. Bernard's interview is probably one of the few that I actually felt like he gave the right answer. Some of the other ones, man, and I know it's tough. These guys are getting asked tough questions. I'll be honest. I don't even know how I would handle it necessarily because I haven't had to because we never really had that type of deal. Like when I was playing here, I never really had to. I mean, yeah, we got whooped in my final game against Clemson, but we didn't have to just go face the media. Well, I guess technically after the game, but then, you know, you're out, right? It's not like we're coming back and all that stuff. That was the end of the year. Other than that, I've never really been in this spot. So probably not the easiest spot to be in as a player. I mean, the whole nation, I mean, literally, it's just on your tail. You're getting lit up left and right, local media, national media. But anyway, those guys did speak to the media after practice, so we'll definitely play some of those interviews. But again, like I said, I'll be honest with you. Jeremy Bernard, not only did he play well in the game, but even, I mean, just in the press conference, which I know we're all sick and tired of hearing stuff. But, I mean, if you did want to at least try to take something positive away, I think his attitude and his outlook, I mean, if we had a team filled with Jeremy Bernards, I think we'd be all right. Problem is, it's not how it works. So we'll probably dive into a little bit of those interviews here on the show as well. But I just see we already got callers lining up. So we'll jump ahead and go to the phone lines first, and then we'll dive into that when we get a chance. But I want to throw this out there, and we'll talk about this later in the show, because this is something we have been talking about over the last few months, knowing, you know, the new revenue sharing model, a lot of schools trying to find ways to generate more revenue. I know people just assume that these schools have endless amounts of money, but the reality is the football programs are really the only programs bringing in money outside of men's basketball at some schools. Other than that, a lot of these other programs are working in deficits. That being said, you've got to find ways to come up with that money to be able to participate in the revenue sharing model. We knew people were going to get innovative. We heard about potential jersey patches. We heard about, you know, field logos and things like that. Well, we finally figured out what Alabama is going to be doing in terms of trying to find ways to generate some more cash. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in depth. But just know, it's not coming in the form of a jersey patch, at least not yet. But it will be on the field. We'll talk about what that is, what that looks like, all that, and more coming up on the show. Plus, last but not least, there's been a lot of, obviously, talk in the media, but I've heard a lot of former players share their opinions, whether it's, you know, through the media, social media, whatever the case may be. And I know Mark Ingram was on his podcast talking about his thoughts, and I thought they definitely were very interesting. So we might dive into that as well. But first and foremost, we're going to go to you guys, because I know we need to get back to the phone lines. We've been talking so much the last couple of days. So we'll do that when we come back. Smitty, I owe you. I remember yesterday we ran out of time. So, Smitty, if you do want to dial us up, man, I promise we'll get you right there. Oh, matter of fact, he's already on the phone line. So you're first up when we come back after this quick timeout. But let me remind you about our friends over at the Good Feet Store real quick. Our presenting sponsor, not only that, but they also are trying to hook you guys up as well in terms of the Kicking for Cash Challenge that they will be doing. And a matter of fact, it starts this weekend. So if you guys are attending the game, make sure you guys get involved with that, right? It's Kicking for Cash. Everybody wants free cash. They want free stuff in general, but free cash, man, you can't beat it. All you got to do is kick a field goal, I believe. I think that's the challenge there. So make sure you guys check that out. That is presented by the Good Feet Store, just like we are. But again, the Good Feet Store, responsible for those arch supports designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain, foot pain, knee pain, back pain, you name it. They will take care of it. And I'm telling you, you guys will not be disappointed, man. Again, if you're on your feet all the time, like myself, you're dealing with, you know, things like knee tendonitis, right? Hip pain, back pain, all that stuff. These things are game changers. So let them do that for you. Again, that is the Good Feet Store, Midtown Village here in Tuscaloosa. Plus, nationwide, go to their website, goodfeet.com, where you can type in your zip code and find the nearest location to you. Again, that is the Good Feet Store, improving the quality of people's lives. 2 feet at a time. Quick timeout. We get rolling right here on the Miller's Edge.
Try OpenPhone for free at openphone.com/try and get 20% off your first 6 months. That's openphone.com/try. openphone.com/try.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. We're gonna jump to the phone lines early on, because I know we had a couple people left hanging yesterday, so I got to make good on my word. We'll definitely do that. Plus, I want to keep breaking stuff down, look a little bit ahead to ULM, but definitely have been some comments that some former guys have made, and I just want to talk about some of those. I was talking about it during the break with our YouTube audience. Again, we're streaming live on YouTube if you guys want to check us out. I believe it was AJ and Siski that had joined the Bama Standard, and they were talking about this game. Very fiery, very passionate. It was good stuff. Again, you can find it on the Bama Standard's YouTube channel. But I wanted to dive into my thoughts and basically their thoughts. Because while I agree with some of it I did disagree with. But I wanted to get y'all's thoughts and where y'all kind of lean with it as well. But I'll get that pulled up while we go to the phone lines, and that way we can play it and then break it down here in a minute. But 205-342-9904. First up, we got Smitty, who, again, I promised him yesterday he's first up, so I'm making good on it. Smitty, welcome in.
Hey, what's going on, Christian? How's everything going with you?
No, it's great, bro. How are you?
Good, good. It's not as hot as Phoenix today, but no complaints there. But a couple of things, right? I think losing brings clarity on a lot of things. When people start talking about they want the coach fired, these boosters can be mad all they want and everything. Two things. Mm-hmm. One, like Siski said, and we already do this, you got to pay to buy the coach, the staff. You got to hire a coach, hire his staff. And here's one more important thing. We found this out last year when Saban retired. If your coach leaves, there's a 30-day window at any time for your players to leave. A lot of those recruits are going to follow Kay and the board, including Keelon Russell, people. So what I'm saying is that, like, with these big buyouts, it's forcing these schools to be more patient because they've been patient with Mike Norvell for this buyout. And look, with Florida State, they up. They feeling good about themselves now. Auburn is still paying two coaches, Malzahn and Brian Harsin. And you got to come up with money to pay these kids. So I'm thinking, so guys, I know he may be upset, but you have to have patience. And I know people want Kay and the board to yell, cuss people out the sideline and stuff. That's not his personality. Marcus Freeman, I don't see Sark, I don't see Ryan Day, I don't see James Franklin out there throwing stuff, cussing people out. Brian Kelly did, but folks criticized it because he wasn't winning championships. So if Saban wasn't winning championships, would they be saying he's yelling too much? But when you win, nobody says anything. You can rob a bank. Long as you win, everybody's cool, you know?
Yeah. No, listen, I agree with that. And I've never been one to say, oh, you have to yell to have success. Like you just mentioned, there are examples of guys who have done it. I mean, and look, even here's an NFL example, you know, like the Rams, right? Their head coach, you know what I mean? He's a younger guy. I remember talking to some of my teammates that were playing out there the year they won their Super Bowl when they beat Cincinnati. And I remember the offseason, even like their training camp. Like we were doing, you know, physical tackle, you know, series and practice, all this stuff. And I remember they were talking about, oh, yeah, nah, we're just helmets, bro. Oh, nah, we just do like they're doing half the work physically that we were doing. And then they go out and win a Super Bowl. And I know it's different. You know, I know they had good players and whatnot. Obviously, you know, you got to have the Jimmys and Joes. We talk about that. But what I'm saying is there's a thousand ways it's going to cat. However, here's my thing. It's not so much just about the yelling piece, but I still think you have to have, number one, if the head coach doesn't do it, there still has to be enforcers. That's just a fact. Uh-huh. Whether it's coming from the strength coach, it's coming from an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, hell, and it needs to come from the players for sure. You've got to have some type of enforcement who is going to establish that standard and build that culture, and it has to marinate. The problem that I have right now is, and not just from week one Florida State, but even going back to last season, right? To me, I talked about this yesterday, it's like a disconnect. It's as if the players, they don't fear consequences. They are that, or maybe somewhat of a lack of authority. You get what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to say they're just walking on the coaches, because I think they love and respect their coaches, but it's not that relationship that probably, where at least that relationship's not where it probably needs to be. You heard my dad talking about it. Sometimes, you know, the parent, kid, you know, you're real cool, and that means the kid kind of feels like they can get away with stuff. And the reason I'm getting at that is you just look at, like, the effort being given, and then when guys go to the sideline, there's nobody really enforcing anything. Like, and I know people are sick of us comparing it to, you know, oh, when Coach Saban was here. Like, I'm not trying to compare Kalen DeBoer to Nick Saban, but what I'm comparing is the culture and the standard and the level of accountability that we had. Like, it wasn't a joke. Yeah. Like, when they said hands behind the line, everybody's fingernails had to be behind that line. If your nail was touching the line, they would call it back and we would restart, right? Like, and I'm talking about way in the off season. You know what I mean? If a guy walked off the field, we as players, coaches even, they would send your tail back onto the field and make you run off. And to me, all those little details is what added up to make us such a, and again, I'm not saying we were the most disciplined. We had penalties at times too, but you get what I'm saying? Like, and then right. You know, but then you cap it off with, we knew, like I knew for a fact, if I put tape out there, like some of these guys did from Saturday, of loafing, jogging around, Not even next week. I knew for after that series, my ass was coming on the bench. Like, my ass would be right there on the bench. Like, that's just a fact. Like, and I knew next week, I'm not going to have my same spot. They are going to push up T-Lew, Terrell Lewis, whoever, you know, Chris Allen, whatever. Like, I knew for a fact if I gave that type of effort, not only would I, you know, face the, you know, the repercussions from Coach Saban, my position coach, my teammates. Dude, I mean, I would have to probably go fight somebody in the locker room or to defend myself because somebody probably would come fight me. Like, you know, and I don't see that. And to me, that's where I do disagree with AJ and Siski on that point, because I get the coaches can't go out there and run rounds, block guys, whatever, right? And to me, I mean, the prep is one thing and from a schematic standpoint, but you also have the aspect of the preparation of getting guys, you know, to have the right mentality to go out there and understand, like, we have a certain standard, and if I don't live up to that standard, I have to answer to my teammates, I have to answer to my position coach, my coordinator, my head coach, and that's the last thing I want. Right now, it just seems like guys are comfortable going through the motions or given, you know, a lack of effort, and it's like they're not afraid of the consequences. To me, that concerns me, and I think that does fall somewhat on the coaches. That's just my opinion, because they're the leaders.
And one thing I would say also, I remember a South Florida game 2 years ago in Tampa where that team just quit and loafed and give no effort, and no one lost their spot. And many of those guys are still here. I think, like I was saying yesterday, it seemed like the Washington guys are the ones that are playing with the effort, the toughest. Brailsford, the best offensive lineman, gives it everything he has. Jeremy Bernard is wide receiver one, in my opinion. He should be the spokesperson for the team. He's tough. Josh Quavis, when he gets the ball, he runs tough. He's running through tackles. All of those guys are from the West Coast, bros are from here in the Phoenix area, and played at Washington. And they're tougher and showing more heart than these guys that bred from the South, that eating collard greens, fried pork, and chopped hot water cornbread.
You're not wrong. In this last game, you're not wrong. 100%. The fish tacos, they stole the show.
They are pretty good, by the way. The Mahi Mahi grill, Mahi Mahi tacos, the mango sauce, good stuff out here. But here's the thing, though. I think what Kalen DeBoer should do, it's like what Bobby Knight said. We're the greatest motivator of all is butt on bench. I'm sorry. Like, LT Overton is a 3-4 end. He's in the wrong system. If you're going side to side, you got to have your fast guys. And my thing is, if those linebackers, because when you watch it, a lot of times the defensive end opened it up for the linebacker to make the hit, but they were tiptoeing and all that. My thing is, if you know this, if your linebackers are slow, your defense is slow. And if these guys can't make a tackle, they can't do their run fits, I'd rather mess with some of these young guys who were brought in by this staff. I'd rather mess with them. At least I think they'll be fast. I don't think they won't arm tackle, and I don't think that they will let a guy blow them up like did Justin Jefferson. And one thing about offensive line as well, right? I give Brett Brown for all the credit in the world. But Kane Proctor should be a guard. He is too slow. I'm sorry. It's been year three, and you can't tell me a backup could do any worse. He's not a freshman anymore. And it's not like, hey, you hold the ball too long. This guy gets whipped quickly. And we got to be real. Ty Simpson, I don't think he's talented enough to lift the team like those Bryce Young years where they could have lost four games. I'm not saying that's a knock. That's just a generational player for Alabama. So, right. And I think the last thing is, I think the board's the right guy. You know, you just have to be patient. You have to realize college football has changed. And I think you're just going to have to be in that portal aggressively every year to pay defensive linemen, pass rushers, keep the offensive line. Because you can find receivers anywhere. They grow on trees. But you have to do that. But the one thing about him being a head coach, you got to tell Ryan Grubb, hey, run the ball. That's why he got fired from the Seahawks. I remember that. You have to run the ball because it's not about the big play with a run. It's about controlling the game and leaning on. Because if you notice, correct me if I'm wrong here, Florida State was not running a hurry-up, up-tempo offense. They just kept the defense on the field. And conversely, Alabama had chances to get Florida State off the field. That first touchdown Florida State scored, yeah, Dejon Lee got beat. It wouldn't have happened if they didn't have a third down penalty. They got off the field and would have gotten back on the field of defense after a 15-play drive. Late in the game, that was another penalty. Kept the drive going. If you do your job and don't commit silly penalties, they wouldn't be scoring. They would have been off the field. So it just shows that, hey, coaches can only do so much. How many times, like you guys always said, y'all worry about your teammate disappointing them? Because the coaches should be the ones, like, if the big stuff happens, the little stuff, y'all should handle it between yourselves. And I think they need to reevaluate who the leaders are. I think Jeremy Bernard should be the leader of this team. He should be. Because Ryan Williams, in my opinion, I saw video and stuff of Jeremiah Smith training and stuff. I didn't see much of Ryan Williams. Someone has one posted, but I see him doing everything else. Does he want to be a great receiver or a celebrity? Does he want to be Marvin Harrison, which I think his body type reminds me of, or Odell Beckham? That's the thing. And I think you have to make some tough decisions sometimes. You may have to sit someone to send a message. If they transferred, so be it. Find somebody else. And I think that includes anybody on that team. I don't care if Ryan Williams retransfers. If you don't want to do it, you do it. And I forgot to say this also. Players, these coaches and schools got to treat them like the NFL. These NIL deals aren't necessarily like contracts like you're in the league. If you ain't performing, rescind that deal, put somebody else in the next season. And I know you guys said everything y'all said about Kane Womack, I can't add anything else, but that's all I have. And I just think that you have to sometimes just sit somebody. It may be a top dog, but hey, if they don't get the message, find somebody else. But hey, thanks for taking my call. And you guys keep 100%. Up the work.
Yeah, no, that was great stuff, Spenny. I appreciate you, bro. Yes, sir. Yeah, I'll definitely respond when we come back from this timeout. We got to hit a timeout here, but really good stuff from Smitty right there on the phone lines. Again, 205-342-9904 if you guys want to get in on the conversation. We'll take this timeout. I'm going to pull up that clip, too, that we were talking about from AJ and Siski on the Bama Standard as well. That way you guys can hear the context. But we'll keep on rolling after this quick timeout right here, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
.365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house.
Or just because. Seize the Deal lets you eat big without breaking the bank. These deals won't last forever. Visit seizethedeal.com/cities/Tuscaloosa.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation across the United States and from around the world. We're here for the rookies and the dreamers trying to make a name for themselves. We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer. We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. I'm trying to find the specific spot where they were talking about the deal about it being more players and coaches in terms of the accountability aspect. So I'm going to keep looking for that. So let's go to the phone lines, and I'll play it in the background and try to find that while we give Pat a chance to speak a little bit. Pat, welcome in.
Man, how we doing that is. I want to use your platform, if you don't mind, to get people off of Ryan Williams and the rest of my receivers. Ryan Williams had at least three of his targets, possibly should have been catches. Had concentration been different, we don't know. I wasn't there real time and seeing what Ryan saw. I do know that he got his bell rung. Darn sure did. More than likely, Ryan Williams won't be playing Saturday. What do you think?
You're talking about his injury, like the concussion?
Yeah, I mean,
especially, no disrespect to ULM, but I don't anticipate him playing this week. But that's just me. I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, all right. Kind of what I thought from what I could tell, like I said, I'm not talking about ULM and that kind of thing. ULM, I was on the field when ULM beat the crap out of us. They paid me to watch the ball game back in that day. I would have been out and done the job for free. But back to this deal here that we really need to get these crazy. It's only a handful, but there's so many people that don't call into the radio that feel the same way. Effort and stuff may not be there. I want to get out these kids, even though they're getting paid a lot of money now. Some of them are not getting paid a whole lot, but some of them are getting, all of them are getting paid something. And that they've got to remember they're still just kids. And I hope Corey hears this, that the days of our championships back to back, blah, 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 are gone. If you want to see championships, you got to go back and watch film of Coach Saban. That was $20 million. You're going to have to catch lightning in a bottle like Coach O did down at LSU in order to win a championship. You're going to have talent evaluators that can go out and find two and three star kids that you haven't got to pay a whole lot of money to get them on campus. And they got to perform like Darius, Marcel Darius. You got to have players like that. You got to have players that want to be in Tuscaloosa playing for that Script A with a chance two that they still think that they can win a championship. And it's gonna take better evaluation of that. And this is all this goes back to the rule that Coach Saban caused at and when he was going out and evaluating talent in the springtime. It all goes back to that. They don't want us to be great. They want to do everything they can to stop us from being great. Do you not agree with that?
I think everybody's always going to target, Alabama and view us as the standard, right? Unfortunately, I feel like we've kind of lost that mystique, over the last, and I wouldn't even just say last year, even last couple of years, I think, the target on our back had already gotten bigger and bigger. And I think at this point, unfortunately, kind of like me and my dad were saying the other day, I don't think people are really scared to play Alabama anymore. I think that fear factor is kind of gone. So I'll be honest with you. I don't think it's like, people are out to get Alabama at this point. I think people view Alabama as being on an even playing field. I mean, because you got teams like Vanderbilt, Florida State. I mean, you saw Florida State, that they're not scared. If anything, they're eager for this matchup because they know that they have a good chance. And I think, unfortunately, man, until we get that back, Alabama is just going to be on the same playing field with a lot of these teams. But to your point about the recruiting, though, here's my thing, Pat. I don't understand why people are bringing up, and I know AJ made a comment about the NIL thing, and yes, there are teams with bigger budgets. That's true. But I think people are kind of acting as if, we haven't signed good players. We have good players. I mean, again, I'm not saying I agree with these lists.
Good players are not the issue. Poor coaching is the issue on defense. Dylan Lee, hey, I watched his tape. I watched his recruiting from the time he was a junior in high school. And, hey, Lee is a very good – he has skills, but you got to have coaching. You got to coach him up. And, hey, I don't know what happened to Bray Hubbard from last year to this year. That Bray Hubbard was a dog last year. I don't understand. I don't know what's going on. I got to lay it on poor defensive coaching from all the way from the defensive line, all the way to the linebackers, all the way to the defensive backs.
I think it's tough, right? Because, on one hand, I definitely look at, some fundamentals that I'm seeing those guys go out there and play with. And to me, they're not great fundamentals. They're not playing with good technique. Bad effort, but it's hard to pinpoint exactly. Is that because they're being taught bad fundamentals, or does that just mean when they show up in the game, it just goes out the window? If you go back and listen to what Mark Ingram said, he agreed with what I was saying. Like in practice in the scrimmage settings, I don't know how many scrimmages he saw, but I know he's been at practice. I mean, these guys are playing hard. They look good. I mean, he even said he thought they were just as good, if not better, than teams like Texas and Ohio State, and he's seen those teams too behind the scenes. That's my thing. Is it just something? Is it not? Why is it not translating to the games? Because I can't wrap my head around that. And that's why I do think some of it falls on coaching, but I also think some of it falls on the players, man. Like we always talked about, you got to control what you control. And things that you can control is your effort, right? Like there's no excuse for that, right? It doesn't matter how much talent you have, how experienced you are. That is something that you have 100% control over. And to me, like as a football player, man, we always talk about it. Football is the one sport that's like year round physically, right? You're doing something year round, but you only get this amount of opportunities. You only get 12 guaranteed games during the regular season, right? Maybe a bowl game, maybe a playoff run. That's it. But you're working around the clock. Why the hell would you not go out there and give 110% effort and really go in? Like that's the whole point you're doing everything else for. If not, you're wasting your time. So to me, that part falls on the players. But I also think there is a cultural leadership aspect that has to take place. Again, where guys have to understand, if I don't, I know I'm going to be held accountable, not only by my teammates, which is really important, but also by my coaches. And that's where, like when Smitty was talking about, I wouldn't mind seeing guys say, all right, if you got to put somebody on the bench, put them on the bench. Now, he mentioned left tackle. I'll be honest with you. I know he was like, well, how much worse could it get? I'll be honest with you. I mean, we don't have I know Proctor's struggling, but we don't have a tackle that's better than Proctor. That is what it is. And to me, going back to recruiting, I just feel personally we have not recruited well when it comes to the trenches, right? I just don't think we've recruited the same level of players offensively or defensively in terms of the line. And I just don't see that same level of elite play, right? Like I shared a video of like Peter Woods, man. I know, look, recruiting, NIL, whatever the case may be, I know he got away, but it was a clip from, I think, their first game against LSU. And you just see the, you know, the quick step off the football, violent shedding, you know, throwing guys around. I mean, like, that's how you play defensive line. I just can't say I've really seen guys play that position to that extent, to that level over the last few years here. And I think, to me, we got to do a better job of finding more players like that, right? I think that we're lacking in that area. And if you look at the success that we've had here, it's always built around strong trench play. And unfortunately, we just haven't had that in recent years.
That one coming in, but we've missed on Elijah Golden. It appears that Masco's still out. He looks like he's going to Notre Dame. Oh, that you cannot miss on these players. That I don't know what it's going to take in order to do that and to get them. But hey, we got to make some changes. Some wholesale changes have got to be made. And I don't know whether who's out there that's better. That's not my job. My job is to call in and talk about it with you.
That's right.
But look, I mean, if we didn't have something to talk about, I guess we wouldn't be happy. But however, things has got to, we expect more out of this. But we're also that we're still Alabama. However, that $20 million that everybody gets now, if it's going to be $23 million, whatever, doesn't matter. Some things have got to change. And I think things have got to change with coaches. I don't know. Like to me, it's coaches that we got to pay and not players. I mean, you got to have Jimmys and Joes, but if you ain't got somebody who can teach them, like I said, I think I would just about as well have a good 2.5 or 3-star than I had a 5-star if I can get him to show me 100% heart.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with you, man. I think you got to have a balance. I think we really just need a couple guys that that you got to watch at night, that you just don't know what they might get into. I know we laugh about, you know, some of the stuff at other schools, and obviously you don't want that, but I'm just being completely honest with you, man. I think sometimes you got to have a little bit of an edge on your roster. So,
Ohio State's going out and getting defensive ends that'll go in and disrupt the backfield. We don't have them.
Yeah, and that was one of my biggest areas that I said we needed to address, right? We needed a true edge presence, a guy that you felt confident can go out there and win his one-on-ones, and we didn't address that in the portal, which I was confused why we didn't at least do that. And now I think, unfortunately, we're kind of seeing that show up, and I said, man, we got to have an edge presence. I don't know, man. So we'll see. I mean, you always can create rush, you know, or pressure on the quarterback. But it's always better when you have guys that can go out there and just do it and win their one-on-ones. That way you don't have to worry about it. But, Pat, we appreciate you, brother. We got to hit this time out.
Appreciate you letting me rant. Thank you, sir.
Oh, always, brother. Yes, sir. Take care. Good deal. All right, we got to hit our next timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling right here on this, Wednesday. This is the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Go inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Hey, it's Gary Harris. Join me Thursday morning at 9 a.m. The coach, Ellis Johnson, breaks down SEC football like only he can. Plus, my pal, Jeff Spiegel, horse anchor at ABC 3340. Your phone calls and more. That's the Gary Harris Show.
Google Chiropractic, the only third-generation chiropractor with over 27 years' experience in Tuscaloosa. Call Tidwell Chiropractic at 752-7503.
365, 24-7. You'll find road and utility crew, tow truck, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are
you'll actually talk to me. 205-800-8000. I've got this.
No representations made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rentals. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation...
Results may vary. Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. We only got a couple minutes for this top hour break, so we'll save some of those callers. But real quick, I know we're going to keep weaving in and out of this AJ McCarron and Siski podcast on the Bama Standard, because I still want to find that part, but they were giving their thoughts on the game, and I definitely thought it was good. But with these couple minutes that we have, I wanted to bring this point up, and this was that, again, the whole deal about Alabama will have a field logo for the first time in Bryant-Denny Stadium on Saban Field, right? So curious what you guys think about this, right? It's going to be a Bill Giants Alabama logo. It's going to be painted on the 25-yard lines beginning this Saturday as we take on ULM. And I think there is an article written with more details on it right here. But basically, I think it's a partnership with the United States Navy and that program that they have. I'll be honest with you, if it brings in more revenue to put towards NIL, whatever the case may be, I don't have a problem with it. I don't think, you know, logo on the field is that big of a deal, especially one that just says, wait, where'd the picture go? Sorry, we just had it. The picture here, Bill Giants, Alabama. I personally, I don't have a problem with it. somebody says, F that logo, oh God. Look, but here's the thing, guys. I mean, where we're at, in this landscape, I mean, you got to find ways to generate more revenue. And I mean, yeah, you guys don't seem very happy with it. I'm looking at our YouTube chat. You guys don't seem too pleased with it. But if it gets you more players, though, don't you think that's probably the right idea? I mean, Chase, what do you think? I mean, if something simple like this, which I know, I mean, it's, you know, on the field, I guess some people are like, don't touch our sacred field and all that good stuff. But like, if it allows us to have more money to pay guys, right, since people are complaining about that, don't you think it's the right idea? Plus, I know we had talked about this earlier, and we said the logo would have to make sense. I feel like, and I don't know if that's the exact, like, model, like, that's what it's going to be, but if so, I don't think that's bad. Chase, what do you think? I guess you don't have any thoughts, Chase. All right, no worries. Let's see.
Sorry, Christian, I was on the phone lines. I don't know. This is something I never thought I would see, especially when it comes to U of A. But money talks. Money talks. It does talk. It'll never stop talking.
100%. So, I mean, yeah. Jared says here, he says, it's a partnership with the U.S. Navy. Come on, guys. It's a no-brainer. That's why, Mike, I think the partnership, right? Look, it's the Navy, right? It's a nice, clean, simple logo. Hell, it says Alabama in there. I don't think it's bad. Michael says he likes it. Jamie says logo doesn't bother him. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I'm kind of indifferent, man. At the end of the day, football is still going to be played on it. The field still, you know, 100 yards long, 53 yards wide, same line, same hash marks, all that good stuff. And it could have been worse. Imagine if they had like just think of a logo that just would have looked terrible. But I know Golden Flakes does a whole bunch with Alabama. Imagine if it was Golden Flakes. No disrespect to Golden Flakes. You guys still want to work with us. Cool. We love it. But, yeah, I don't think I would – Golden Flakes would look cheesy, just being honest. That, to me, I don't have a problem with it. I can get away with that. That being said, let's go ahead and do this. Let's hit this top of the hour break. We come back, we keep on rolling. But, hey – reminder about our new friends over at Asphalt Restoration. If you've got cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal, make sure you guys check them out at Asphalt Restoration. They transform driveways, parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing fast, durable, and they're family-owned, meaning it's quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Make sure you give Asphalt Restoration a call today, 205-393-9149 for your free estimate. Again, that's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. We got to hit this top of the hour break. When we come back, we keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTVC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
At the U.S. Open, number 4 seed Jessica Pegula won her quarterfinal. Next, she'll face number 1 Aryna Sabalenka, who advanced when her opponent withdrew due to a knee injury. Men's number 2 Carlos Alcaraz advanced to the semis, as did Novak Djokovic. Ohio State is number 1 in the new college football polls. Penn State is still number 2. LSU is up to number 3 in AP. The New England Patriots say wide receiver Stephon Diggs will play in Sunday's opener after last year's torn ACL. In the WNBA, Golden State won 66-58 over New York. Hall of Fame college basketball coach George Raveling died at the age of 88. To Major League Baseball, Toronto won again 12-9 at Cincinnati. George Springer hit 2 home runs. The Mets got 2 homers from Pete Alonso and won 12-5 at Detroit. Boston, with 4 runs in the 8th, defeated Cleveland 11-7. Dodgers and Padres each lost. Tampa Bay won its 5th in a row.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow truck, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't lose your hard-earned money. Learn to protect yourself at asc.alabama.gov. Paid for by the Investor Protection Trust and brought to you by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mixture of clouds and sunshine this afternoon will maintain the chance of scattered showers through tonight. The high today, 86. The low tonight, 67. Tomorrow, a very warm day. Partially sunny. A few spots could see a shower. The high, 89. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 83 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller and his son, 4-time SEC champion and 2-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Wednesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, we're still loaded on the phone lines, man, so I think we can keep on rolling. It's no problem. 205-342-9904. I'll keep weaving some stuff in there here and there. But, yeah, again, we've been kind of playing some of these clips from the Bama Standards podcast last night with A.J. McCarron. Tyler Siski, who he was here when I was here, man. He's a funny dude, but he does a podcast and he owns Quick U, I think that's what it's called. I don't know if it's like film service or something like that, but anyway, man, it was a great episode. I mean, those dudes are bringing the heat for sure, and you can check that out on their YouTube channel as well, the Bama Center. But let's keep on rolling on the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Carson up next. Carson, welcome in.
What's up, Christian? How you doing today, man?
Man, I can't complain, brother. Talk to me, man. What you got?
Hey, I'm not getting on the soapbox today. I did all of that Saturday night.
Did you?
Yeah, it was, you know, it's frustrating because you expect it to be better than what we saw. But I'm still optimistic, man. I don't know if it's blind optimism or, you know, I'm just not willing to make, you know, such bold claims. I understand the frustration of what happened, but
let me throw this in there real quick. I mean, here's something to consider. I was talking to my financial advisor this morning, and he brought up a good point. Notre Dame, they fell in week two to who? Was it UO?
NIU.
Yeah, Northern Illinois or something like that. And I remember everybody was literally writing them off.
Dogging
them, and they were joking. They end up playing the national championship game. So
right. Yeah, and
it's possible.
No, 100%. And they actually had like not a cupcake schedule for Notre Dame last year either. They had some ranked opponents that they had to play afterwards that were a test. So it wasn't, you know, not the greatest comparison in the fact that, you know, they didn't play an SEC schedule like what we have to play. But then again, I mean, look, I actually, while everybody was criticizing Kane Womack, saying fire him and DeBoer as well, I actually was pleasantly surprised and heard what I needed to hear during the presser afterwards from Kane Womack. I thought that what he said kind of put me at ease, because I think a lot of what happened, I mean, obviously it was defense. It was defense, and not 80% defense. If I was going to give a percentage on where the issues lied, offensively, you know, I'll go into it a little bit afterwards, but if I looked at that tape and I rewatched it, and it's effort, dude. It's effort. Like, are there some schematic things that I think could be changed? Yeah, like there's some things that, like, we need to put ourselves into better positions from a scheme standpoint and call the right plays and line up in the right stuff. Sure, but like that's a work in progress. I thought that when he, and I'm not naive either, I thought that, you know, Kane said some things that, well, I'm like, okay, he could be saying that just to save his butt, saying they prepared well. But then I go back to all of this stuff during the spring where people are at scrimmages saying, no, these guys are playing physical, man. It looks good, you know, not to say that we're going to win 12 games, but like, it looks good. We look like we're talented, where we need to be at, where we're playing fast and everything. And that's not what we saw on the field Saturday. So it just goes to show that it's effort, man. It's concentration. It's straining. It's all of those things. And I think that can be fixed. You know, so I think we're at a crossroads right now. And I don't want to make any claims about what I think it will be, what I don't think it will be. But I do want to recognize that, like, hey, this is a kick in the teeth. And, like, you have a decision to make as a team, or what are we going to be? Last year it popped up in spots, but this year it's right. You can't run from it. Like this is what it's going to be. And so I think we will get to see what we're made of. And I'm excited for that. I mean, whether it's good or bad, you know, I mean, I'm excited to see us answer the bell, you know?
Yeah. No, and I agree. And that's why even my dad, and I know he's been really tough on the coaches, right? But he also said, I mean, he's not ready to jump too far ahead and say, oh, you know, so-and-so or anybody needs to necessarily be gone. But he was saying that something needs to change. But I think, Carson, to me, the most head-scratching thing is that these were the same things that plagued this football team last year, right? I know you talked about the effort or the lack of, right, lack of physicality. Those are the things that plagued this football team last year, right? But we tried to sum it up as, okay, it's Kalen DeBoer's first year, right? Even like he said, okay, well, this year, you know, a year later, I can address things differently than I could have last year. But then you hear that, but then also you see how we show up week one. And to me, that's why it comes off as concerning, because I mean, you're talking about week one, the first, I mean, guys should be amped up. I get it's a, you know, road game and, you know, it's a hostile game to start the season. And again, everybody points to that Florida State team as a 2-10 team, but I mean, it's a much different team than they were the year before. Just like, hell, my high school year, I mean, like my junior year high school, we won like 6 games. And the next year we went 12-0 and we were dominant. I mean, teams can change, especially when you have a transfer portal.
Oh, no question. You
know, right. But at the end of the day, though, none of that has anything to do with effort, physicality, running down, trying to hit somebody, not catching blocks. I mean, playing downhill. I mean, even I got a clip playing right now. You just see, we were the hunted on Saturday. The whole game outside of that first drive. I mean, like you watch Earl Little, right? How aggressive those guys are filling those holes. 26. I don't even know who he was, right? They're backers. Like that's how you need to play the game of football, and that's how Alabama's always played the game of football. And that's why the whole debate kind of comes in where it's like, well, is it on the players? Because they're the ones out there. They're the ones out there lacking effort and not going hard and not playing physical, not going and punching somebody in the mouth. But then you also look at it like, but really it also is the coach's job, too, to get them, you know what I mean, ready to go do that. So, I mean, I think, look, I think everybody needs to take a look in the mirror. And I think, look, they just need to figure out how to get it to translate. Because like you mentioned, people were talking about it. And in one, I know a lot of times people do just say stuff in the media because it sounds good. You guys know me. Yeah. I don't do that, right? I'll tell you guys how I see it or what I see. And when I've been at practice and in scrimmages, I also saw that. I saw what Mark Ingram was talking about. I saw what Josh Pate was talking about in terms of a physical practice, physical scrimmages, you know, guys getting after it, you know, really, you know, hitting each other, blocking hard, finishing play. Like, I saw that too. So that's not a lie, but I didn't see that Saturday. And that is the biggest problem. Why are we not seeing that? And again, not just this year, but last year, that's four losses to unranked teams. And, you know, what's the stat? I got to pull it up right here. And like, you know, a season in a game, 14 games versus Coach Saban's 235-4. Again, not trying to compare the two, but it's just like that to me, again, I could live with, you go lose to a ranked Georgia team. You lose to a ranked Tennessee team who made the playoffs. They have a good football team. We were at least given effort. We try to play physical. We just lost the game. I can live with that. But what I can't live with is the fashion in which we're losing. And that's the most concerning thing to me, Carson. To me, that there needs to be an answer for that, whether it's from the coaches, the players, both. But until I see change there, again, I agree with you, though. The biggest issue is not the scheme, right? Play calling could be better. Yes, we got away from stuff. Defensively, there are some techniques that I'm not a big fan of. That being said, even with those things, we still should go out there and go beat that Florida State team. If you 100%. Have better effort and go play physical, I agree with you.
100%. And there's no excuse. Like there's no excuse for no effort. I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm not criticizing, because I am, and it's deserving. Like you go play with effort, you go finish plays, and to me it looked like there was no resiliency. It's like when you face adversity, it looked like those wounds that were created from last year by losing to Vanderbilt, by losing to Oklahoma, by losing to even Michigan, it looked like, to me, those wounds were not calloused enough. And when you get in a moment of high pressure, of intensity, and you make mistakes, which happens, it's a natural thing, because I thought we came out pretty hot. Like, offensively, we were juiced. Like, it looked good. We looked physical. Defense gets on the field, gets punched in the mouth on the first drive, which happens. They're going to throw their best punch at, like, first 10 plays of the game. Like, they're coming out hot. And, like, they're trying to score. So, to me, when that happened, it almost – there was a switch that flipped. And I think I can't confirm anything. I'm just going off vibes. But, like – it looked to me that it was like a, well, here we go again. Here we go again. Not good enough. We can't do it. And, you know, that has to change. It's not a capability thing. It's not a talent thing. And like I said, I don't think it's a scheme thing, even though I'm going to have disagreements about certain scheme play calls from anybody that I watch. I mean, Texas Sark is probably the best offensive play caller in the country, and I hated the way he called that game against Ohio State. So, look, that's neither here nor there. Like, that stuff you work on over the span of the season, and it doesn't come down to one or two play calls offensively or defensively. It can, I guess. But, like, you know, I'm not worried about that as much, but it's like, man, we got to be more resilient. I know we got the players there. I know we could be physical. Like, we got to be more resilient, but I think that the biggest takeaway I have is having the emotional intelligence to realize, or hoping that they have the emotional intelligence to realize where we're at. It's like, no, you just got kicked in the teeth. You just got embarrassed on the biggest stage, and everybody was hyping you up. So you have to get back to what is really important. And if not now, then it won't be ever. So I'm just excited we'll be able to see that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, man. I've been pointing that out. That to me is evident that when we're playing from behind, when we do face adversity, we just look flat. We look lifeless, and we don't have that. So somebody's got to step up. And I'm challenging the players, man, too. I know we're talking about coaches, but I'm challenging players, man. Like, somebody has to take the reins, right? And I know I've seen, like, Ty jump guys, you know, in practice, or even, you know, held the little thing after practice, and, you know, Prater was talking about it, right? Getting on guys and having a good practice, but all that, you got to bring it to the games. That sideline has to feel that. You have to have players that aren't afraid to jump players, because right now, man, it's just people aren't really accountable. Because again, I mean, dude, if and they got iPads too to see this stuff. Like, when I was playing, if somebody was loafing, we might not have seen it. It might have just brushed by. But now they got iPads, man. How do you look at the iPad after a series and be like, call a dude out and be like, bro, hold on, whoa, I'm looking at the tape. I didn't see you because, you know, you were behind me during the play. What the hell are you doing? You know what I mean? No one seen it. That's got to be addressed, man.
No, I'll leave you with this. I got a kind of a question. I know you're not an offensive guy, but it was really head-scratching for me to see Ryan run out of the slot like 90% of the time. I don't, in your mind, like, where, how do you get that result? Like, what goes into moving him inside like that, especially with his frame and his skill set? Do you think that could be more of a, well, Jeremy has shown in practice that he is capable from an effort standpoint, from a technical standpoint, to where he is more polished, where we trust him on these types of routes and in this position over Ryan, like, not more talented, but like, maybe that's like a Ryan Grubb, like, okay, we're going to put Jeremy in this role because we can trust him? Or is that just a schematic thing? Cause I Ryan is an outside receiver. Sure. You can move him into the slot sometimes and move them around. Like, yeah, I would prefer that. But to line up in the slot 90% of the time, I don't know. That doesn't sit right with me, and I just want to get my head around it.
Well, I'll say this, and my dad might want to chime in a little bit too, but I think people forget. I mean, slot receivers typically, if you're a smaller guy, I mean, it's common to play in the slot, number one. But number two, I think you got to look at it like this. I think it's evident at this point, Jeremy Bernard's the best receiver that we have. He's the most polished guy. I know Ryan Williams brings that electric playmaking ability. But the reality is, if you go back and really watch, and I talked about this last year because everybody was talking about the plays he was making, but, you know, he's still learning and growing as a route runner. He never is, you know what I mean? Like, he's young. And we talked about that. Like, those are things that you got to consider. I think right now you just look at Jeremy Bernard. I mean, he's your guy. And so I think they looked at it like this. Ryan, you know, he has the ability to play in there. It creates different matchups. It allows him to bring a different aspect. And sometimes it's not always about him being the key, read or the key target on a play. Sometimes him being lined up there also drags attention. And that could have been one of the main reasons you saw Bernard so open, because it brought so much attention onto him. And it opened up other guys. So you got to think of it from that aspect. There's a rhyme and reason for them doing stuff. They wouldn't just put him there if they're like, oh, he's terrible at it, but we're going to keep him there. They obviously had a game plan with that. But I do agree, he didn't necessarily look the most confident, comfortable. I don't know whatever words you really want to use there. And maybe we'll see them change that moving forward when he comes back. But I do think he's capable of playing there. I think it's just 1 week. I think you got to let it, play out. I saw him playing it in practice. And I mean, he looked fine there. And I saw him make plenty of plays from the slot in practice. So I would just say I'd probably give it a couple weeks at least in the game situations. Because, again, he's doing it in practice fine. But I think the thing is, what's evident, though, is Jeremy Bernard's, and Ricky said this, we kind of were like, I don't know, but Ricky's right, man. Jeremy Bernard is clearly wide receiver one. You want to chime in on that?
Well, I mean, how y'all doing, by the way? Listen, based on the defense we saw on Saturday, heck, I could look good in practice, like in the slot. I mean, so I'll say that, but listen, no, I mean, I think Ryan is a true slot, to be honest with you, because when you look at his skill set, his ability to get in and out of breaks, to work in, nickel and safety sometimes in coverage at that position, I think you look at trying to create mismatches, which I think what Alabama's mindset probably was in this ball game, to try to create something with him in that slot position, because you're not going to get your top corner normally on that guy. You'll get your top corner normally on the outside. But I think they were experimenting with some things. Jeremy Bernard is definitely a more mature, more polished, run the route tree better. When you got experience, you understand sometimes you have to cut routes off. You got to learn how to sit down in the zones and things like that. But you're talking about a team also that, right now they don't have any continuity as an offense, right, with Ty. I mean, it's going to take a little time to build that. And the offense normally starts out a little bit sluggish and slower than the defense, which is why I'm very shocked at how bad the defense played. But I think they're going to be fine. I think they got guys that can make plays, guys that can beat coverage, and just a matter of time that Ryan Grubb just figure that out. And they're going to do some hard self-evaluating after this game, and they're going to have to make some quick, I heard you saying earlier, and I've been saying this, you're going to have to make some decisions real quick in this thing to get things turned around, let these kids know that you're not joking around, no more playing. You want to, do what you do, late night chicken wings, women, show up to meetings late, you're not going to play. Get guys that really want to be there and play. So I think that's what we're going to see.
Good take.
Mm-hmm. Good deal. Good Carson, take. We appreciate you, bro. Good hearing from you, man.
Absolutely. Thank you for taking my call, and y'all have a blessed day, man.
Yes, bless sir. Always, man. Take care, bro. All right, good deal. In this timeout, we come back, we keep on rolling. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTV.
Y'all like my shirt?
Language? Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. BABBEL.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mixture of clouds and sunshine this afternoon will maintain the chance of scattered showers through tonight. The high today 86, the low tonight 67. Tomorrow, a very warm day, partially sunny. A few spots could see a shower. The high 89. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 83 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And we are back on this Wednesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Tia's in the chat.
What up, Tia Connor?
Tia's been so lost. Tia's...
What's wrong with Tia? She's front and center, screaming and using profanities and all this stuff. And, Lord, I can't even hear from
Tia. She hadn't even been keeping up with football. You know what she's been doing?
She moved
before the season started. She moved on. All I see her tweet about is a damn reality TV.
I don't know about it.
Whatever the dating shows and stuff, man. I'm like, what?
Dating
world?
Show too.
Yeah. She's trying to get on in them dating shows. Hey, Compax. Compax está aquí. Que lo que? Que lo que? Espero que esté bien.
I mean, listen, I know the game this week is a dud, right? Just like I was at the University of South Carolina just an hour or so ago. But the game itself, you know, overall is not a good game to watch or, you know, go see. But from when you're looking at it from the standpoint of from a player's perspective, this is a game that coaches are looking at how they handle it, right? How they handle, like for South Carolina, the success, winning a big emotional game for Shane Beamer and his team, beating Virginia Tech, coming back, you playing a team that's 30 miles down the road to South Carolina State. You know, will you go out there and play hard? And you know, if you're a starter, you know, do your thing for a quarter and a half or two quarters and get out of the game. And then you're looking for an opportunity to get younger guys and getting more experience, finding some, you know, true backups. And I think that's what Alabama has to do in this type of game. One, you know, with the starting group, go out and dominate, which you should do. Now, if you go out there and struggle against Louisiana Monroe, then, wow, there's really going to be some boo birds. And really people going to start calling for jobs. But you have to go out there and you dominate. You go out there and get up 28-0 in the first quarter. You know, 35-42-7 at half. And then you take Ty Simpson out and you put the backup quarterback in. You give him the ball for that half. And you put your backups in there. And you got to start building and see if guys can play. Those younger guys that you put in the game, give them some extra reps in these games. But if you go out there and lollygag and mess around and keeping a team like Louisiana Monroe in it, then that's a real problem. And again, the problem to me is still at the top and how you're running and organizing, your team, right? You know, what's the mantra, the mindset? I woke up at 2 o'clock a.m. and I hit my YouTube and I listened to Stephen A. Smith with Paul Feinbaum and Cam Newton. And I don't even really watch some shows no more. But matter of fact, Stephen A. said the same stuff I said. I thought he done listened to YouTube. He said
Edge has been on fire, man.
He said the same thing that I said. But what's important is nationally, people don't respect Alabama like that anymore. That mystique is gone. You know, Stephen A. said, forget the Roll Tide. We need to call you rolled over. I mean,
Jesus Christ.
Then that's bad. So that's what I'm saying. This is what, and it's really because of the effort. It's because guys were getting trucked. I mean, I watched another college football show. They showed Brady, the safety out there, getting trucked by a receiver. I mean, embarrassing. They showed up. I mean, these were embarrassing things that would never, ever, ever, ever happen under Nick Saban, and that's what people still are accustomed to. And then you go put this product on the field, that's embarrassing. You just did not lose. You were embarrassed. And it's going to take a heck of a lot for them to redeem them. So they're going to have to go down to Georgia and win that game. That's what's going to stop the noise. That's what's going to stop people from saying what they're saying. And people can say, okay, all right, they had a bad, whatever. Give them
one-off.
Give them a pass there. They had one bad, whatever. They learned from it. They grew from it. But it's going to take a win at Georgia. And I think it is massive for the culture. I think it is massive for if Kalen DeBoer really has control of this football team. That Georgia game is massive. It's not going to be Louisiana Monroe. It's not going to be Wisconsin. It's going to be at Georgia, on the road, crazy atmosphere. You're back against the wall. Do you play with effort? Does this team look to be better coached? Is the systems going to work? It's going to be on display. And not just Alabama fans, but the whole country is really looking now to see if Kalen DeBoer is going to be the guy. And I think this is huge So these next two weeks, man, I think it's going to say a whole lot about the future of Alabama football program. I will tell you this. We were talking to people, coaches, and players down in South Carolina. Everybody's shocked. Guys that play right now, they were shocked. They were shocked. But one comment was, nobody looks at Alabama like they used to be. And nobody's afraid. Nobody had that kind of respect because they haven't earned it with Kalen DeBoer. And that's the mindset of college football teams. And I just heard this from college football players that's in the league. So that said to me, they have lost the respect from players, from coaches, from fans, based on you losing four games to unranked teams and getting your tail kicked. And that's where we are. That's where Alabama football, even Donald Trump, I heard, was making a comment about the game. I mean, this is going crazy. This thing is going crazy because that just tells you how much respect Nick Saban and his program had. It was unbelievable, but now that respect is gone out of the door, and so should some of them cars be gone, because I'm standing on that. I mean, it's just like, man, this is ridiculous. We're paying you this kind of money for this kind of effort, for this type of performance. Can we get that money back? So we'll see.
Let me ask you this real quick. You mentioned the Georgia game, and I think that will be kind of like that litmus test, right? Kind of really gauge where Alabama truly is at, right? We all know ULM. I told folks we'll preview them a little bit, but I'm not going to give a huge, big breakdown.
No.
We should win that game comfortably. If like you mentioned, there's a struggle there. I don't think folks have anything left in them to try to hold any more grace. But in Wisconsin, I think a little bit, maybe a couple answers here and there, maybe. But again, I think the biggest thing over the next couple of weeks is really just effort, physicality, the intangibles, that kind of deal. But even though you still should, it's easy to go beat up on inferior opponent. You know what I mean? It's easy to look like the tough guy, even outside of football, right? You go pick on a small kid. It's easy to look big and bad, right? Pick on somebody your own size. What I'm getting at is, though, when you talk about this Georgia game, we know it's going to be a tough game. They're a good squad. What if Alabama goes on the road and faces Georgia, and it's a good game? They play hard. The effort's better. They play physical, but they lose that game. Do you think that still would be enough? It's a close game, but they show they at least should be in there. Do you think that is enough to kind of help, not necessarily bring back the mystique, but kind of help kind of right the ship a little bit? Or you think they have to win that game?
No, I think it's just about how they play. I think they'll get a lot of respect. I mean, you know, it's going to hurt them if they lose because people are going to say, well, we're not looking. They're going to be out of the top 25, which I can't even remember the last time that happened. I mean, so, no, I think how they play is going to determine how people feel about the team going forward. I mean, because they're going to know going to Georgia, even if Nick Saban and the old Alabama was good, that's going to be a hard-tail game, right? You're just not going down between the hedges and winning unless you play a great football game, cause turnovers and that type of thing. So I think that we'll look at it a little bit differently. I think from the fan base, people look at least guys were playing good or the defense played great or we just had a turnover and we lost in the fourth quarter. I think people will feel much better going forward and probably would say, well, Georgia's going and LSU. I mean, they got a hard schedule. I don't even know, bro. But I think what I'm struggling with, Christian, is this team talent-wise good enough? Yeah, I've been talking about the effort. But I'm struggling to think, is this team good enough? I mean, to win at a high clip. And I don't think so. Not defensively. I don't think so. I mean, I think they're going to have some struggles all year long. I think they got to recruit better. And I think the transfer portal should be huge for them. They got to find plug-and-play guys. I think they got some good young talent. They got some dudes. They got some pieces in the cupboards, so to speak. But, man, they got to find some dudes in the portal that can come in and play. Like, I would have definitely went in that portal and got me an edge guy or a defensive end, somebody that can just cause havoc.
I would have got a D tackle and an edge rusher.
I would have got a linebacker. I may have messed with the secondary, but them front seven, I would have been out there, man. I would have been out there, Greg Byrne, with a checkbook. How much you need? Huh? You know? I mean, you think you get 12, 15, something? Okay, let's write this out here. You know what I mean? You know, that's what they should have been doing instead of, oh, we got five stars and four. Nah. Another thing some guys said.
Well, they did go linebacker, but they went Hill Green. But you're saying more of the guy from Colorado. So technically, they did get a backer from the portal.
You saw Colorado defense last year?
I did. I get what you're saying.
It kind of like what we saw with Alabama on Saturday.
There was an edge rusher in the portal that I thought we should have went after. I can't remember. No, I'm saying that I thought we should have went after, but we didn't. I can't remember what school it was, but I think he was like a six sack guy or something like that. We didn't.
I'm talking about going find some play. I'm talking about somebody that we can pay some money. I mean, like, that's worth some money. Like, you know, top two, three guy. You're Alabama. You got them rings you just showed. You know, look like they need some dusting off. Look like they need a little dusty. But the thing is.
Easy.
You know what I mean? You got that stuff. You got history. You had some culture. You're going to be very attractive to a free agent that say, hey, man, we got a lot of talent here. We just need some veteran help. We need some leadership help. Go find that guy. I mean, so I don't really see Alabama doing better than 8-4 this year. I think that's the best they can do. I really do, based on their talent. I don't care. And I think they can probably get away with that based on what we've seen Saturday. I think they can still lose to LSU and Georgia, maybe South Carolina, maybe Oklahoma. I don't know. But I think the best that they can do is I think they have 8-4 talent on defense. Offensively, the offensive line is better, but still has struggles. I mean, the first drive to me, I was very excited. You know, they got back to smashing people, but then 55 yards, and then boom, they did nothing after that. Why? I mean, so there's a lot of question marks for this football team, but it's going to be 2.5 weeks before we know anything going forward. We're not at practice. We don't know what they're doing. We don't know what changes is happening. We don't know how they're coaching. Yeah. I would love to be a fly on the wall to see what that looks like. I would have them running gassers, stadium steps, treadmill uphill. I'm telling you, I've heard coaches before say when we played like that or had a game similar to that, it'll be like, we're going to see who we can trust. You know how they do that? They will put your tail through some of the most gruesome workouts and running. And whoever quit, good. That let us know that you don't deserve to be here. Whoever fought their tail off and said, I ain't quitting, then those are guys you go to fight with. And there were guys that couldn't take it. And those are the guys I was glad to see go. And coaches were glad to see go. Because, you know, they weren't tough enough.
That just reminded me of a story real quick before we go to the phone lines here. During summer workouts one year, we had a guy legit quit during our workout. Like, we were doing our 110s with Coach Cochran, and we kept going. Guys were missing time, so that means they didn't count. And I kid you not, there was a walk-on running back from, like, Mobile or something. And he just casually just exited the field. And everybody was like, yo, what the hell? Is he straight? Like, we thought he was hurt or something. Dude legit left the field, and I promise the guy, he never came back. Unless I'm remembering wrong, but I don't think we ever saw a dude ever again. Dude literally just walked off the field that day during one test and said, this ain't for me. I don't know why I'm out here. And he ain't end up playing football, man. So you're right. Those tests can get it can weed the bad apples out for sure. All right. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. We got a new caller. We got Chance up next. Chance, welcome in.
Oh, what's up, Christian?
Hey, what's up, Chance?
Oh, I'm a huge fan, man. Some of my favorite years of Alabama football was watching you play. So it's an honor to talk to you.
Oh, thanks, man. No, I appreciate you calling. It's an honor to have you as a new caller, man. Welcome in.
Yeah, absolutely. What's up, Pops? I don't know if you're listening, but what's up to you?
Yeah, he's on here. I think his connection kind of just added funny, but he'll pop back up. But he'll be here in a second.
Oh, okay.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, I mean, you're a defensive mind, and you played with some great defensive players. And Saturday, do you think it's a scheme thing? I know the other caller mentioned something about that, but
Yeah, so here's the thing, Chance. I'll be honest with you, man. I think, like, if we had to go in an order of operation or, you know, list everything, I think first and foremost, effort, lack of effort, I should say, you know, lack of physicality, not being the for aggressor, sure. Being hesitant, being timid, not being sure of what we're doing. You know what I mean? Like, that is the biggest issue out of everything. That trumps everything, and it's not even close, right? So I would say that, right. Number one. I mean, schematically, I'll be honest with you. I've been trying to teach everybody up on like the 4-2-5 and what that, it's not that, right? That's just nickel defense. Everybody runs it. You have to match personnel. Now, if you want to talk about like the ins and outs of what they're doing out of nickel, yes, there's some things that I feel like, you know, probably could be better. You know, for example, some of the linebacker technique, I feel like, and again, maybe they're not necessarily coaching it this way, but like I know they do coach like, you know, the package they have where they have a mug up on running downs. I'm not a fan of that personally, right? But again, that's their coaching, the coaching staff, that's their stuff, is what it is. But for me, like I said, I you can always, you know, be picky about schemes and say, oh, this needs to be better. But I don't think we lost the game primarily because of the scheme, if I'm being completely honest with you.
Oh, no, right? I don't. Oh yeah, and I don't think so either. And I totally agree with you on that. It was a lack of effort.
Guys,
and the saddest part was
they have to execute too. I mean, you talk about setting edges, right? I mean, like, I was looking at you know, it's a number of plays where I know for a fact this guy's supposed to force the edge. He's supposed to set the edge. He doesn't do that. He's waiting. He's catching. I'm watching guys, you know, instead of pressing, right? Fundamentally, they end up just taking it, saying, oh, I'm doing my job. I'm taking my gap. That's not how you play defense. You have to know, like, from a football perspective, right? Like, I know I'm a C-gap player, but I'm going to press here, right? That way I help my force player out.
Right.
It's those little things. That's not scheme related. They have guys in position or where they should be in position, but they're not executing correctly. So to me, I think the effort, the lack of it, lack of physicality, lack of execution, to me, that was the number one issue in this game this past weekend.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you because, I mean, watching you and watching defenses from back then, everything was intentionality. It was all intentional. Everything you did, there was a reason for doing it. And, you know, I just – yeah, it, what's so strange is that y'all brought up Bray Hubbard and Deontay Lawson, and it's just it's night and day from last season. I mean, maybe they didn't highlight it enough last season, but I saw Bray Hubbard flying to the ball last year. Deontay, too, but I did not see that Saturday. And I just can't understand how offseason you can go from that to that. Like, that's insane to me.
Well,
I just don't understand that.
Let me throw this in here, too. Here's what – this game really was set up to be a buzzsaw. And because you go back 2 years ago, right, Alabama got in the playoffs when they lost to Michigan. Jalen Miro over undefeated. They lost in an ACC championship. They won the ACC. No, they won it. And undefeated 13-0 Florida State football team. Well, the hatred had begun for Alabama even the more, right? Then they go, you know, bring in all these guys, Castellanos and all the other players. And that intrigue of this game has been built up since they saw it on the schedule. So you knew that you were going to go down there and face a team that wanted nothing but to destroy you and beat you and pay you back for what they felt. Maybe it wasn't Alabama's fault that the committee picked them, right? But they became that team that they wanted to punch them in the mouth. So the coaches used that as motivation. But Alabama went down there very casual and thinking, well, this is the 2-10 team last year. They're not that good. Georgia beat the brakes off of them and all the players left, blah, blah, blah. So their mindset and intensity was not there. And I'm telling you, what you saw in this game was a flat football team who thought they were going to just show up and thought because they were Alabama that they could just show up and win this football game. It just shows you what intensity and desire and determination and discipline and will, how much that plays into this game called football. Right. Yeah, one team motivated like crazy, and another team just thought they didn't want to show up to the dance. And that's what it looked like. Now, do I think Florida State just have better players across the board than Alabama? No.
No.
As a matter of fact, if I thought these teams redid everything and said, let's play again, I probably would still pick Alabama. Because everybody's giving Florida State now this love and got them ranked at 14, which is ludicrous to me. I don't think they're that good. I think they're okay.
Right.
But because they beat Alabama, they're getting all this national love. So Alabama just got that thing between your ears. You know this. If that's not right in football, bro, and you go try to play a game, you can't make it.
You know, I'm going to put it out here. Well, you know, what's crazy is that there's still people there from the Nick Saban years. Deontay Lawson is a Nick Saban guy. You know, like, they know the standard. They lived it. They know it. And that's what's so upsetting is they fall so short. It, you know, like, he knew that it didn't matter whether it was Louisiana Monroe, Florida State, whoever it was, they all got your, you know, you gave them their best. It's like it was a championship game every time. That's what made Saban so great. And much love to you, Cox. Always non-filter with you. That's so great. That's why I love you, man. You're awesome.
No doubt. Hey, Chance, we got a couple callers to try to squeeze in, but thank you so much for calling, man. Glad
you're you're totally good.
Here.
Yes,
all right, absolutely, man. Roll Tide.
God bless you, man.
Yes, sir, Roll Tide. Hey, Chase, since we only got a few minutes because we're going to have to get out here early, let's squeeze Bryce in here because I know he's also been waiting. Bryce, you still with us?
Guys, this is
where
I'm at, okay? This is just my opinion. It starts at home. When you get that scholarship to go to Alabama, your parents have got to instill you and tell you how much a privilege it is to wear the script tape. And that's what we don't have right now, okay? And then the coaches, they need to look at themselves. No, I take that back. The president needs to go to Greg Byrne and tell him, you hired this guy. You need to go down there and have a talk with him and straighten this out, okay? And the boy needs to tell his staff and how much a privilege it is to be here at Alabama and to coach. And then they need to go to the players. That we don't have pride and heart. Now, Christian, when you were playing ball, if Castellano had run his mouth, what would have happened Saturday?
We would have had his number the whole game.
Yeah, and remember,
here's an example. Remember Joe Burrow, he wasn't even really talking crazy, but he just was like, oh, well, it's another game on the schedule when he had transferred down to LSU. In 2018, that was his first year starting. And you see how that game went. I mean, Quinnen, I sacked him twice. Quinnen sacked him like four times. I mean, like he came over to us after the game, was like, man, I owe y'all so much respect, man. Y'all just should not, you know, because, and he didn't even say anything crazy. We just felt disrespected because we were like, oh, nah, we're not just anybody else.
Yeah. And people, we don't have a leader on this defense. I didn't see Saturday. Lack of effort is what disappointed me. We had nobody going to the ball. You know, lack of effort. No leader on that defense. And when you did something stupid like this defense is doing, somebody hold him accountable and called him out. I mean, maybe it's not his personality, but Coach DeBoer, to be stands over there, looks like he's coaching peewee football. No emotion or nothing. Now, for him to scream and holler, that might be his M.O. like Nick Saban, but you got to show some kind of emotion like you care. And when these people make these 15-yard penalties, you got to hold them accountable. Jerk them out there and talk to them and say, this is not going to be tolerated.
That's
what made me so mad Saturday. No effort.
Yeah, I think that was definitely the most disappointing thing, really. Like I said, I mean, the people jumped the scheme and stuff, but that wasn't the issue. Just like somebody in the chat said, everybody jumps like, oh, 4-2-5 or 3-3-5. That's literally what Florida State runs. They base out of a 3-3-5, which is even a lighter load, right? And they literally dominated our offense. That's why I try to tell everybody, right, man. It's about the nature in which you play. And those guys played aggressive. They were hunting us. They were playing physical.
Right.
They were flying down and run support. And that's how you play defense. And unfortunately, we didn't play like that.
Right. And is POP still listening? Listen, ask him who their home coming opponent is.
Say it again, Bryce.
Is it us?
Who's y'all's homecoming opponent? That's
homecoming?
South Carolina.
Alabama.
Yeah. Hey, listen, now, Krista, do I need to say any more? I've never heard of us being anybody's homecoming opponent.
Listen, hey, Alabama, the script A, the cursive A, which the young people don't even know how to write in cursive no more. But listen, that's where it's at, bro. I think the homecoming, we always scheduled somebody that we knew we were going to get a W. I don't know if that was the case with this whole thing, Bryce. But it just goes to show. I'm just telling you right now, the word already is that people down here are not scared of Alabama. That's one, and it's not just because of Florida State lost. It's because they played them at their place, and they felt like they left one on the field last year. So there's confidence in that ball game. But it's going to be a good game. I mean, listen, I think Alabama's going to be better some kind of way, somehow. They're not going to stay the same. I don't think that we're going to see the same. We can't, right? If someone is putting in, what if they lose to Wisconsin? Sam did. Like, then if that's the case, he need to fire about every position coach that he has. I mean,
exactly.
They're not going to fire him because you know what his buyout is? 70.
That don't matter to Alabama. If he's stinking it up, not getting it done, they'll come up.
They're not going to pay this man $70 million, Bryce. They're not going to pay.
Okay, well,
no school's going to pay anybody $70 million to go home and sit on the couch and eat popcorn with the shoes off.
I disagree. I know somebody that won't let it tear down his legacy, what he has built. If he has to, he'll put some in the pot.
$70 million. Then you're gonna have to go find a new coach. That's probably gonna be if you want a good coach, that same $8, $9, $10, $12 million. I just don't see that happening. But what I do see, you know, them saying, you know what, fire your defensive coordinator, fire this position guy, fire this guy.
Oh, he's gonna have to
I think there
can
be drastic changes, which I already think they need drastic changes on this staff, period. I mean, and I think you need to look at the weight room and who you got there, because when I see the defensive line getting their tails knocked back, when I see players getting thrown and shucked, as we used to call it, they're a piece of plastic. Like, that's how guys are getting thrown to the ground. When I see the offensive line get knocked back and just beat up, that to me tells me that the strength program is ridiculous. I don't even know the guy. I know I heard him talk about all this science stuff, but let me tell you something. Back to the basics. Bench press, squats, power cleans, lifts, jerks. This stuff is football movements. You got to be strong in your lower body. You got to be strong in your upper body so you can get guys off you and you can punch them in the chest. And like, they are pity pat. They are catchers and not strikers. What I saw, Alabama.
Exactly. And I agree with everything you say.
Catching and not striking.
Oh, and one thing, it's a true story. When Alabama was playing Texas in the national championship, the first national championship that Saban won, there's a guy that played for the Cowboys. His name was Nate Newton. He used to come to the Ford place where I worked at to get his truck service. And he said he knew they was in trouble after the game. When they first ran out on the field, Alabama said, look, a man playing boys, they were intimidated. They knew they were in trouble. They wasn't going to win that game. You don't have that anymore against Alabama. Nobody fears us. You got to get that back.
You got to go bust people in the mouth. I hate to say it like that. I'm about love, folks. I am. But I understand. A guy just asked me when I was doing my video, what was different about you on the field? I said, when the lights came on, I transitioned into something different than what I was seeing me at the local hamburger joint, right? I'm a nice guy, introvert, but when them lights came on, and I had a desire, you know why? Because I had to wear holy jeans to school. I had to wear shoes to school with the rubber bottom falling off, right? Same clothes every day, two or three times in a row. So when you get to a place and you have a kind of desire and hunger, thirst to make it and to get out of a situation, bro, you play football a little bit differently, right? You know, and that was me. These guys, and I keep saying this, because you get this money and all these NIL deals, and they got more than a scholarship, and they can go get Gucci bags, and they can go get Louis Vuitton and buy these ugly suits and all of this stuff, they lose their desire to work, to go eat, fight for the food, go fight baby needs diapers and milk, that kind of attitude that we saw so many times. They don't have that no more because they're getting the money right now. But I tell you this, one coach, we talked about this earlier. If they stop calling these kids amateurs and you start calling them professionals, and when you're a professional, and if you don't do your job, something happens. They call it fired. So when you're a professional, you fire people. And also, they're stopping them from leaving because you're under contract. So that's the other thing what I'm going to tell you. This is what needs to happen. Stop giving them this free money. Make them earn it. And if they don't earn it, you bring in the next guy, and you won't have all these problems. Period. Stop calling them amateurs. Start calling them professionals, and we can have a new program.
That being said, we got to get out of here. Make room for Wide Teton Sports Daily coming up next right here. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBT. See you guys tomorrow.